I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Well, welcome to a very special episode of C3 Church Global Podcast. My name is John Pierce. I'm the exec director of C3 Global, and I'm here with our global leaders, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle, and Sam and Jess Pickin. G'day, guys.
Hey, how are you, John?
Hi.
Great to be with you today. It's a milestone moment in our movement. It's a sacred and holy moment. You've just announced, after 46 years of leading C3 Global, yes, that you're handing over the leadership at the end of 2027 to Sam and Jess Pickin. Mm-hmm. What the heck, guys?
What the heck?
How awesome is this? What the heck? Pastor Phil and Chris, 46 years ago, right, you started this movement when you planted a church. Did you ever imagine that it would become what it is today? Over 600 churches.
No. It's my dream... Well, our dream was to have a church of 500 people. Mm. And we thought that'd be like dying and going to heaven if we could achieve that. And we felt that was our capacity. That was what we were seeing up ahead. But then as God moved in the church, it became very natural to start to plant other churches, to start a Bible college, to start a television studio, to have a school of creative arts, and to start launching out in all kinds of ways, but mostly in the church planning world, it just got momentum, and everybody in the church wanted to go start a church.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so that's how the movement kind of got underway. Way back there in 1983 would have been when, same year we started our school as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Which has 1,200 students in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pastor Chris, you travel now around the world to all these beautiful churches right in every continent. How does it feel to see what the Lord's done?
Actually, it's like seeing a vision multiplied. Like when Phil said, the one church, the dream was one church of 500. Way back then, when we did dream, while we were still in New Zealand, before we moved to Sydney, we would go through every week through the tunnel of Littleton to this university cafe in Christchurch. And there he drew on a serviette while we're having hot chocolate this vision of the type of church. Mm. So we didn't imagine multiple churches, but right, the type of church was a campus, right, with students, with trees, with art. You know, when you're dreaming, it's free. So right, the thing that we saw is what is multiplied. So we wanted to create this new type of church.
Yes.
It wasn't a university, but it was a church like a university with students and art and fun and eating together. So and that's what we saw.
We right, kind of wanted to bring the church out of the dark ages.
Right, right.
And out of what Pentecostal culture had become.
Mm-hmm.
We were embarrassed about that. And so we wanted to kind of be able to have a contemporary church.
Mm-hmm.
We yeah, got that phrase going. Mm-hmm. Without sacrificing the move of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And that tended to attract a whole range of people to be refreshed, revived in their Christianity, and to accept that they had a human side as well.
Mm.
And that becoming more spiritual didn't mean you became less human.
Right.
And so
I love that.
It was so yeah, wonderful. Because we sort of thought when we first got saved, you sort of sacrificed your soul and your personality.
Right.
And that started to happen, and we just did not feel comfortable
right,
in our own skin.
Mm.
So when we had the freedom to dream,
yes,
of what we wanted to see,
yes,
that brought out the color in our personalities. Mm-hmm. Of course, Phil being an artist,
mm-hmm,
that was just blooming. And then the arts college, and you attract like.
Right, right.
And I remember Peter Morrow having this prophecy over us really early, the yes, late Peter Morrow.
Yes.
And he said, I see many coming out of you, from you, but unique. Wow. Not like you, not the carbon copy of you. So I think that that dream was in the Holy Spirit's mind, that we would multiply, we didn't know at the time, and that everyone would have their wonderful expression culturally and in colour, language and whatnot.
So it's such a great strength of C3 globally is that it's not cookie cutter. It's not, and we use this expression, we're not one house with many rooms. We're a global village of many houses, and they're all unique houses, but they're connected together by core values. And you guys have led by clarifying those core values so strongly over and over. And one of the big things is your strong relation. Like C3 is a relational connected movement, right? It is Christ-centered and spirit-powered, connect-driven. That's who we are. Okay, so here's the moment. You've chosen this amazing couple, Sam and Jess Picken. They lead C3 Church Toronto. Why did you choose these guys? I mean, I think I know, but I want to hear from you. Why did you choose these guys?
Why?
Okay. Well, it hasn't been a quick process. I told our church when I turned 70, we will turn the church over. Mm-hmm. And then I told these guys on our board, our C3 Church Global Board, when I turn 75, all things being equal, make it to that point, we'll turn the movement over, because we did not want to be those leaders who just hang on and become the old guys and blocking that updraft of new leaders coming in. So 5 years ago, we started thinking about this, and we were thinking of possible candidates.
Yeah.
And then I would say 3 years ago, we started to get way more serious.
Yep.
We developed, I can remember a list on my sheet of at least five people. Mm-hmm. And Sam and Jess were always in those lists, but as time went on, it would have been...
We were the bottom, just...
we're in the list.
We asked all these others. No,
definitely in position five.
This is not true.
No, then we came down, we got serious at a board meeting maybe 18 months ago.
Yep.
And we said, okay, over these next 18 months, here's the list.
Yes.
And there were three on that list.
Yep.
And so we just started praying and thanking God for guiding us.
Yes.
I approached one of those people. They said, there is no way, definitely I am not the guy.
Right.
I am the guy who supports the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will be more than happy to do that. Now, this guy, he had a particularly large fruitfulness in his ministry and his leadership in his life, but he was correct. He is not the guy, but the guy to support whoever we landed on. And then there was one other, and we prayed about that and felt like, no, this is really where we want to travel. And I think Sam and Jess, to me, have a move of God and have a move of the Holy Spirit, and they have an X factor.
Yes.
So
I love that.
Whatever is on them, we'll get through the whole movement. That would be my my desire.
Fantastic.
Whatever that X factor of a move of God that's manifesting in music and song, which is a very high value for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like in our church, I would say we were apostolic and we always had a sound.
Right.
And that sound was manifested in, 35 albums that we put out over the years. We had a voice that was expressed through our conference. Mm-hmm. And we had a disciple-making church that raised up leaders who went out. And we also had a bunch of ministries inside the church. Their church has all of that.
Yes, so good.
And we would recognize the signs of an apostolic church. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, I think the favor of God, that X factor, is on them. And I think us as an executive and as a board all came to an agreement that this seems good to us and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So that's it.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer, wasn't it, in the end?
in the end.
The process, it was absolutely clear. Pastor Chris, why Sam and Jess? Tell us what you love about these guys.
We always envisaged, is that the word?
Yes.
That it would be like it's always been Phil and Chris, that it would be a couple who work so well together, have an absolute love, like a passion, a fervent passion for the local church and for C3. And so as Phil's given all the, you know, this is the over 5 years, three years, 18 months, I feel like not only that, but there's something when a son and a daughter have come forth out of your loins, please. I'm not
That's a beautiful expression.
You have the same, it's the mix of the blood and the wine, which Phil said, the Holy Spirit, the absolute devotion to us as a tribe. And I see that in them both. And then at the first secret uncovering, like in our global retreat, when it was official and the four of us, the five or six of us stood together, there was just this sense of the Holy Spirit just went, and we all cried. I mean,
everybody.
This is, and all our leaders and everything. It was like, it wasn't just good to us, but it was good in the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the seal.
Yes.
A sacred seal.
I love that. So, I love that. This is beautiful.
I think this is.
I think, you know, being in the room in that moment, being part of the conversation with the exec and the board, it has just been a clear, and I'd say particularly the last 3 years, it's just been more and more evident. I call these guys rock stars. They're like C3 rock stars. They have the heart of the next generation. They're innovative. I love the word X factor. They've got that X factor. They're innovative leaders. They've got a rocking church. And so in good ways, Pastor Sam's quite a disruptor. So, and sometimes we need to go into the next season. That disruptive big thinking. He's like
Dr. Sam.
That's it, Dr. Sam as well.
And not only that, but I was just thinking to add one thing. We have always had the love and the buy-in of our leaders around us. And around Sam and Jess, the new generation pastors are like, we want a couple who they would serve with and grow the movement with. As we age, you know, into our 70s and our 80s, we want to be going, oh, wow,
come on,
look, you're building this together with Sam and Jess.
So
and I wanna, I'm going to witness that with,
so good.
With my eyes, just as others have witnessed the OGs.
Yes, the OGs.
It's going to be your story.
Well done. I love that. Amazing. Dr. Sam and Jess. well, first of all, how do you feel? This is a big moment. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's a big moment. Overwhelmed, terrified, nervous, excited, honored, all of the emotions. It's been a lot to process, but it honestly is an insane honor because we just love these guys and we love C3. So it's incredible.
Yeah, a lot of feelings. But the word that always struck me about Pastor Phil, which is no surprise to anyone that's been around C3 for a heartbeat, is just faith. That's, in my opinion, you get around you guys, and no wonder there's all these people that want to plant churches all around the world is, and that, you know, we come from a similar area, like small town, Victoria, Australia, and but coming into C3 and coming under your leadership when I was 18, you just feel like you can do something.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put that spirit into every room you walk in. And so, you know, I was a drummer and a musician. I never dreamed to be a pastor when I was 18. I thought I played drums from being an 8 year old. And then one day I hung up the sticks you know, long story short, life changed. But man, you know, the feeling, so yes, we feel all these feelings, but I also feel so championed, so believed in.
So good.
Wonderful.
And you make us feel like that.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
We have a lot of faults. We have a lot of insecurities. We have a lot of different things going on. But what we have that's more than any of that is just, as you said, all these incredible, we think, you know, we're not doing this, just Sam and Jess. We think if we just go through the list of all these amazing people around the world.
Right.
And we're like, man, what how great to be able to do, to walk into new seasons and new days with just the most remarkable people that all carry that that faith, that essence.
The moment that Pastor Chris was talking about with all the regional directors, we just was so, so special in that room. And it is the best feeling to know that we're not alone.
Yes.
We don't feel alone by any means. We feel so
together
with a team doing this together.
That's awesome.
We're at 12 regions and those regions, the legions attack the regions, but we've got
12. That's other than.
So we've got 12 regions, everyone led by regional directors who really love you guys and they're for you guys.
We love
them.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us, you know, because some people, they don't know Sam and Jess Pickin. Maybe they've seen you preach or heard a podcast or an interview, but tell us a bit about your C3 story. Jess, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, Sam has a saying, which is maybe not a saying that we should say, but he said, if you cut me, I bleed C3. And it's a bit cold. It is true.
And three of us tattooed.
I have a big C3 on my back.
On the back. I love that.
Oh my gosh. But we say it all the time, C3 is our family. We cannot imagine being in any other church family. That's what it is for us. Especially, I mean, my story alone is my parents actually walked into a C3 church and were saved while my mom was pregnant with me, which is crazy. Like that might change the trajectory of our whole family. They were into the new age before, and so that changed everything for my life. And then, you know, fast forward a few years and I made a personal decision to follow Jesus after whatever in that part of my life, coming back as a teenager.
Building your story and testimony.
Did you go to our school?
Oxford Falls. So I gave my life back to Christ on an altar in C3 and then graduated the last 2 years of my high school at Oxford Falls Grammar School, which Pastor Phil was sharing before. And and then since then, I could track back almost every significant moment and God encounter in my life to being on a C3 altar, not just Oxford Falls, SYD, not just ours, but all around the world, significant moments. So,
like we talked about sacrifice before, any pain, any trial, any sacrifice that you make, it would be worth it, Jess, just for your life.
Come on.
For just one life, you know, that, or building all those buildings. Spending all the money, whatever it is, the weight, the worth of a soul. One life that makes a difference in the world.
And the thankfulness for me for the sacrifices of each of those pastors.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
And in a way, your story is the seed of the prayer that we prayed for our future leaders. Your story is part of this. It's the, what the Holy Spirit has ordained. Is way back there in those moments of surrender on the altar. And Sam's story is amazing.
I love that. Sam, you went to C3 College, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I, you know, growing up, I grew up in a Christian family and I was not, I didn't love church as a teenager. It wasn't a great church environment. It wasn't a C3 church. And
disclaimer.
And so being a drummer, all the albums were being released on DVD. I would learn some of the songs.
Did you have a favorite album?
Oh, I thought you were going to say favorite person on stage. It was definitely Joe Pringle.
Speaking of rock stars,
with that guy one day. And
he feels the same way.
Favorite. Well, Prophecy was a
prophecy.
I was actually in that recording.
Our staff found the recording recently.
There's a shot.
Was there a conga line, or was that a different one?
Anyway, so I thought I needed to go on a different trajectory in life as an 18-year-old. So I moved from Victoria up to Sydney, jumped on a bus, and then when I came into C3, I found, like, so I'm a Christian, but I needed to kind of get church saved again. And in that time, one, the 10th value was freedom.
Right.
And like we had yeah, value statements. The 10th one was freedom. And that was the one that like it just felt saved me. Because I was I felt like I was under legalism and all this stuff. And you know, if you made a mistake, you gotta hide it. And so I felt like I could be myself and then seeing both of you on stage, but I'll say especially Pastor Chris will set you free. any religious demon going on there And so walking into Oxford Falls, I just felt that I was with my mom and presence of the Holy Spirit, and I said, I'm coming to college here. And then I enrolled because I thought, oh, there's not much I can learn from the music side of things because I'm like, you know, I'm pretty... So I enrolled in the pastoral side, and I never thought I was going to be a pastor, but I enrolled in the pastoral side, and then that year... There was a moment in a Bible college class where the lecturer put up a map of where the C3 churches were at the current time. I think it was about, I don't know, maybe 200 or 150. And when that image of North America came up and the dots on the map and just the Holy Spirit went, bang, what's happened to you with this church, I want you to plant churches, or it was one church, plant a church, like if... this has been life-changing for you. Go and start a church just like it in North America.
Amazing.
So good.
So that other people can experience what you
have. So good. So when, so you, because on your way, so it's a whole other story. We need a whole lot of other interviews.
We hadn't met.
To go.
That was 2003.
So you eventually moved to Canada and land in Lorne and Kelly Tebbett's church,
yes.
Right?
Best
so in Calgary. Talk a little bit about that journey.
That would probably be the biggest training ground for us on the ground, and thank goodness for Pastor Lorne and Kelly, because they are the most grace-filled, most put up with so much and, you know, helped us and trained us.
Why did you just point to Sam season? When you said
that? Supported him through my
Yes.
But honestly, just two of the best people. And so we did youth and young adult ministry for them for 4 years, and then they knew that we wanted to plant a church, and when we mentioned Toronto, they said, fantastic, what can we do to help?
Wow.
So they sent us on our way with a team and are still like some of our biggest cheerleaders in our corner. And
so good.
Love them.
Yeah, nobody believes in you like Lorne Tebbett.
I love that.
Just again, it makes you feel like, I mean, to be under both of you,
awesome,
pretty much set up for success.
So good.
He is the heart guy, like the fathering, the hearts of the sons turn into the fathers, this kind of deal. Yeah. And his voice is, I'll say, his voice is important for our movement's future.
So good.
Yeah, it is.
I believe it is.
Yeah. That. And so again, just because we're introducing a range of people, so... In what year did you plant C3 Toronto? And just give us the 60 second, how's it gone?
You give 60 seconds.
Yeah, so that was, we moved in 2012 and had our first service in 2013.
Yep.
We started with six other people that moved with us from Calgary. And, you know, delete pandemic out of there. But we had three locations, went down and back to, so, and at the recording, when this should come out, so we have three locations around the greater Toronto area. Mm-hmm. We've got our heart already talking about a fourth one.
Yes.
And we're launching another location in Mexico City in February 2026. So, and then, a couple of thousand people.
Yes.
And we've seen 11,000 people give their lives to Christ.
So good.
Up to date through the ministry at our church. And yeah, as you mentioned, the songwriting culture and the release of music is a primary focus.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
It's a rocking church, right? It's just such a rocking church.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle they even survived COVID because you were locked down for 18 months.
18 months,
unbelievable. Just so when you say, I mean, you dismissed it quite easily, but that to me
he's staying with his time.
Like the valley of dry bones, will it ever live again?
Yeah.
But look, you came up out of those ashes, man. It seemed to me that you were down around about 200.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember where the church where the Toronto Blessing happened,
yeah.
they graciously allowed it because we were renting in high schools. We weren't allowed to be in there.
Yep.
They graciously let us do a 4 p.m. service when it was like 6 feet apart, masks on, straight of pressure. Everyone's getting their heat check when you walk in. I know, it's so... But yeah, it was like a couple of hundred people and you look, and it was a 2,000 seat flat room auditorium. Yeah. And it's
maybe
like...
Maybe 200 people.
You're looking right across this room, just like...
Okay, let's move on.
Lately, when I've been there, it's just, we've been packed out. Like
multiple.
Several services. Yeah.
Amazing. So good. Okay, let's move on. So, you know, we're pressing begin to the transition period. So you've done a transition before. You mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Handed over C3SYD to Arjun Jessen. And so in this next 18 months or so, leading up to, to the big transition moment.
Yeah.
So transition's never one moment. It's a series of moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a journey. What does the next 18 months look like? How do you see that?
Me? Well, John, I've done quite a few transitions. When we started the school, I was the chairman of the school for a long time. Then I was the president, always on the board for about maybe 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I transitioned to the chairmanship tradition, transitioned the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Bible College.
Right. Yeah.
Same with overseeing Australia.
Yeah.
overseeing Australia once. Gave it to Gordon Moore, who then gave it to you.
To us,
You gave it to Lars Halvorsen.
Yeah.
So we have a movement that has a pretty good culture.
You're a great empowerer.
Of healthy transitions. And I think my goal is that transitions are not even noticed.
Right.
They're less than a speed bump.
Great.
They're seamless and people feel calm, steady, so that when you turn the corner, you don't turn it so fast or suddenly that everybody falls off the back of the truck.
Great analogy.
You actually turn the corner gently, holding people's hands and you know, looking after everybody, answering every question, being as transparent as you can.
Yeah.
But for our engagement with Sam and Jess, it'll go up a level and to inclusion, talking more. But it's not necessarily a heavy deal. There's nothing too much extra that's going to happen other than what would naturally take place. And, you know, like just giving them more opportunity, more profile, more process.
Yes.
I mean, there could be a bit of spiritual weight coming their way, potentially.
Yes, and so...
you definitely will feel... You'll feel... Yeah.
I know we're saying
that much. Keep playing it down.
No, it's good.
Well, I think, what I'm excited about is I'll be able to go to Canada a bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, transition is not so much just the Shunda Baranda altar court. It's spending time together.
Yes.
It's spending time with Sam and Jess and their family, their church.
Yes.
And I think, as you know, our plan is to be up in
based in North
America more, based there. Well, it's a terrible word, but you know, to be living there with once we get this visa, and it's just a hop, skip, and a jump into Canada. And of course, he's half Canadian.
I know.
I think it's such a it's not like we're going to be going. Sam said this. It's not like see ya.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be we'll hold each other's hands. We'll be here for the journey.
Yes.
It's not like we're going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We're going to be close in. We'll be available.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wonderful to just see the vision increase and change as they see fit
in
the future.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful.
I think that when it was announced, you know, when we had that moment, my gosh. And people said, how do you feel? And I went, I feel so great. I feel lighter. And the look on Sam's face was like, great.
Sam was crying in the corner, but he was elated. So
that's
so
exciting. Yeah.
I love that. I mean, for you guys, we've got, I would say, once in a generation leaders in Pastor Phil and Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously led a movement. But by that, when we get to there, it'll be 48 years,
yeah,
which is incredible. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Billy Graham lived till he was 99. You just never know what's going to happen, right? How do you see the ongoing role of Pastor Phil and Chris? Because I think that's an important thing for our movement.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah, I mean, exciting. You guys have this incredible Holy Spirit-infused energy and life. And, I mean, I don't see any... Oh, let's see, obviously slowing down, you got to make your decision on what you want to do. But but your voices, like this idea of us working together, and Jess and I, from the core of our heart, know that this next season is like, it is the sage going down in the history books. Like I literally had a vision the other day of students studying you.
Come on.
Students in the, like 100 years from now, 200 years from now, you know, like, what is it? I don't want to use the word deconstruct because it's a bad word. Reverse engineering.
How did this happen?
Because what you have done, crazy. And we've just been rattling off all this stuff, and it's legendary.
So good.
You guys are like, you know, God sent, once in a generation. And so, and the movement, but beyond the movement, just see the stamp, like that seal of your voice and that continuing to go, and then even exponentially around the world. And I'm excited for that. Like, so what this next season means for you.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. How good is it to have a planned, healthy, generational transition in the works rather than a crisis one? And so in the last quarter, Jess, of 2027, we're going to have a global conference.
Yes,
we are.
We're going to be celebrating Pastor Phil and Chris. We want people from all around the globe to come for that moment, not just for the celebration, obviously, but for stepping into the future. Why should people start planning to come?
Ooh. Oh, gosh, because you just don't want to miss it. Uh-huh. I mean, if the last global conference was anything to go by, the representation in the room and the celebration in the room of...
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, every different region and culture and language and accent and for it to all be together, it truly felt like the throne room of heaven. Yes. And so I think this next one in 2027, it's only going to be that and more so.
Yes.
So don't come just because it's the transition year. Come because we're stepping into even more of God's presence and celebration across all the regions.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Yeah. The glory of God, magnificent. Yeah. Well, it's been a privilege to be just engaging and talking to you guys.
I got to say, John, before you finish, that all of this has been, had your fingerprints over it in all kinds of ways. And for many people, the most obvious choice to take on that role was you. I would be, people would say, so you're going to be moving on. And so obviously you were on our shortlist, you and Danielle.
Sure.
Because you're magnificent in what you've done. But what an incredibly unselfish, non-political heart you've had through all of this, urging and guiding us and Sam and Jess in making this work really well. So we're deeply grateful for you and Danielle as well, and honor you as
honestly, can I just say, we've never felt like the grace of God was on us to lead the movement. We've never felt like that. We've always felt like we could be a bridge from one generation to the next. And the greatest privilege and gift that we could give to the movement and the body of Christ is to help go from one set of legends to the next set of legends, to guide the process. And I saw, maybe 3.5 years ago, I had a moment where I saw Sam with a group of global leaders get up and articulate a deep passion for the movement.
Yeah.
Real honor for you, but clarity of vision for the future. I saw it, and in my heart, I'm like, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
And it was like, it was kind of a bit of a relief at that moment. So it's a privilege for us. So, hey, what a milestone moment for us. So, hey, thanks for joining in to a very special C3 Church Global podcast. We'll resume our normal podcast in the future. God bless you guys.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader We'd love to connect with you throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings. Are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.